Welcome to the last Sunday of 2024. I know. AKA Student Pastors Preach Across America Sunday. AKA We Don't Feel Like Showing Up to Church Sunday. That's funny because y'all here. It ain't funny to the people at home right now. So I'll get an email about that later. Good thing I don't work till Thursday. Let's go. So I was telling people, I said, I don't know if Pastor Russ set the bar too low or too high last week, in the sense that he said it's a family service. And I said, okay, sure, I see that. I see the kids in here. And he said, no, you can't hold their attention that long. And I said, okay. And so he preached for like 19 or 20 minutes, which is a miracle if you know pastors. And after he preached, he said, hey, Joe, you got to do the same thing next week. And I said, and my response was, well, Pastor Russ, don't you know lightning don't hit in the same spot twice? So with that being said, he gave me two stipulations. He said family service, which I know means go fast. I know, brace yourselves, put your seatbelts on. Second thing he told me is that I need to keep it between Genesis and Revelation. So that means go fast and keep it between the white lines. And I said, I feel like I could probably do that, I guess. So this morning is a very practical service, a very practical sermon. It's resolutions that last. We're 3 days away from the new year and from, I would say, some of us making resolutions. We're 3 days away from you hopping on social media and going, new year, new me, and doing this pose and like doing your hair. Y'all do that? Don't raise your hand, because I just want you to know, and I'm going to confess and be transparent. If you post that this year, I see it. But because I love the Lord and because my wife will kill me, I will not laugh at your post that you, new year, new me, whatever you want to do. Hey, it is what it is. So, but in that, I would challenge you with this. For you as a believer, the new you started with Christ, not with a calendar. I would challenge you with that. So before you post it, just remember that little snippet right there. This morning, we're going to be looking at Philippians 3, 13 through 14. We're going to look at two verses. I figured that was quick enough for 20 minutes. So the end of the year is a natural time for us to look back and reflect and set goals for what's ahead of us in 2025. And when I started doing this, I was like, what is a resolution anyway? And so I went to the good old Webster Dictionary on the interwebs and found a definition, and that is, resolutions are decisions about what direction we want to take and what's important to us. So I said, okay, well, what are some resolutions? You know, go to the gym and then we quit a month later. Is that y'all or is that just me? Because I did that. I'm finally going to be as awesome as my dog thinks I am, you know. Y'all felt that. That was a good one. Maybe two words. Real food. Fast food needs to chill out because it is draining my bank account. That's also me. Sorry, I just snuck that one in there. You know, maybe I need to lose weight. Lose the weight I put on in 2024, as y'all can see. But, I know, I felt like the Grinch up here, one of them. But in my defense, I had a lot on my plate this year. I had a lot on my plate. Or maybe stop procrastinating, you know, eventually. Like maybe towards the end of 2025, I'll get there. But real resolutions that stick aren't just about self-help. They're about living your life with purpose. Like Paul talks about in Philippians 3, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So, we're going to break this up into three parts. The first part being, we need to let go of the past. You've got to let go of the past. Do we have that? Where it's broke down in here, Philippians 3, maybe. But it says, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. We're called to leave the failures of whatever happened in 2024 behind us. And if your life is anything like my life was in 2024, it was rough. There was a lot of unexpected things that popped up. Like I was supposed to preach a few months ago, but I was having surgery, so I couldn't preach. So like there's a lot of unexpected things that popped up of, God, I didn't see that. That was not on the bingo card for 2024. Like I didn't see that coming. Believe me. So we have to leave behind those failures. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19 says, do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now I will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In my life, I needed some roads in the wilderness. In my life, I needed some rivers in the desert in 2024 because a lot of times for myself, I felt alone and asking God, where are you in this? God, where are you in this? Because like I said, I didn't plan on this happening this year, but we're called to leave all those obstacles and those things we stumble over and those failures behind us. If we're looking at Paul and the way he lived his life, you know, he had a dark past because Paul wasn't always his name. Y'all know what Paul's name was before it was Paul? Saul. Man, y'all some theologians in here this morning. Let's go. Dang. I just love that y'all answer me because if I ask that question on a Wednesday night, I say, what was Paul's name before it was Paul? And then I get this. And you could hear a pin drop somewhere, you know, and then some kid burps or passes gas or whatever. And I'm like, what? No? Okay, whatever. But Paul had a dark past. In fact, he persecuted us. He persecuted Christians. He persecuted believers. And we see that in Acts 9, 1 through 2. Because meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and ask him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So my boy Paul, he had a rough life. He had a rough life before he was Paul. He was persecuting us. He was persecuting you as a believer. And in that, I know that we all have things we regret. We all have things in our life over this past year where you're like, I wish I could have changed that. I wish I would have talked to that person more. If you're anything like us, we lost people this year. We went through, you know, the highs and the very lows of life. And in that, I mean, I just did a funeral last week for some of our family. And in that, I said, man, I heard people saying, I wish I would have talked to him more. I regret not being there more. I wish I would have shown up more. But the root of that is just regret. Just regret. But in that, there's grace. The same grace that you experienced when God first called you, when you first put your faith in Jesus, that grace didn't run out on that day. No. That grace is still there. God's grace is still extending to you to be able to wipe the slate clean. It didn't run out. It didn't leave you. God didn't say, okay, here's a little grace, Teddy, but, you know, from here on out, it's all you. It's all you. Because if it was, I'm down bad. Like, I'm down bad. And I need some more because I done used all that grace up in the first hour because I done screwed up. I done screwed up. I done talked about, you know, a fart joke on a Wednesday night and whatever. Like, I done screwed up. But the grace is still there, and God still forgives, and he is still holy. He is still holy and sanctified, even in that. We're called to not get stuck on past wins either. So it's not just limited to failures. We're called not to get stuck on past wins. We see Paul, you know, he had every reason to brag about his spiritual resume, but in fact, chose not to. In Philippians 3, 7 through 8, it says this, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." That's difficult. That's difficult. Because what culture tells you to do is get more money, get a bigger house, get a bigger bank account, be better than your neighbor, and if your neighbor needs help, put up a fence. And then if the fence is too close to your property line, knock it down. That's what culture tells you to do. But in this, we're not called to just do that. Like, we're saying all that is lost. All those things are lost. All these past achievements, no. They don't matter. They don't matter. But in our heads, it's easy to rest on those. It's easy to find our identity in those things. It's easy to go, well, you know, I used to do this. Remember, I come in first place here. I was the boss here. Like, it's easy to rest on those past achievements. But the call of Scripture is, no. God's called you to more. God's called you to more than what you could accomplish by yourself this year. So for you to rest in what you used to do is not allowing you to walk in what God's called you to do. So we're not called to rest on those past achievements, because God is calling you in 2025 to more. When I was writing this sermon, I kind of stumbled upon this story. It says two guys were on a park bench. One says, "Man, my memory's awful. So I'm going to say they're seasoned saints, you know, if the memory's awful." The other says, "Not me. I took this memory course. You know, it changed my life. Now I can remember anything." The other guy says, "That's awesome. What's the course called?" The second guy hesitates and kind of scratches his head and says, "Well, what's that flower with the thorns and the petals? And it's usually like red or pink." And the second guy goes, "Well, a rose. And the other guy goes, "Right. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that memory course?" That's me. I have to do that. Hey, Kelsey, what was my schedule look like? But in that, we're not called to dwell on what's behind, because God has offered and extended to you. He's offered and extended to you a fresh start. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." So when you put your faith in Jesus, you're not called to live in that same tent that you used to live in. You're not called to operate in 2020. Because why? Because 2020's gone. 2020's gone. 2021's gone. You're not called to operate in what happened last week, last month, whatever. You're not called to operate in there. Why? Because God's calling you to something new. He's calling you to something new in 2025. He's calling you to something new because he's made you a new creation. And the old things have passed away. You're not who you used to be because he's called you to something different. All things become new. We have to start this year by releasing the weight of the past. And in that are those regrets. In that are those things, man, I wish I could have changed that. I wish I would have talked to that person more. I wish I would have spent more time with the kids. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. But in that, we have to release the weight of those to be able to move on to what God has called us to. In that, we have to make a plan. We have to make a game plan. If we go to back to verse 13, it says, straining towards what is ahead. Straining towards what is ahead. So we have to ask ourselves when we're setting meaningful goals. Because I don't necessarily love the word resolutions because it has a stigma about it of, okay, we make it, it lasts for a month, and then we just go back to the same way we were doing life anyway. So I will say goals. So set meaningful goals. And we have to ask ourselves these things. Does this goal in my life, does this honor God? Does it honor God? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So in your life, the things that you do on a daily basis, the interactions that you have, the goals that you have next week, the goals that you have at your job, in your community, in your house, do they honor God? Do they honor God? Or do they build you up and make him less? In the things that you say, do you honor God? Do you honor God? When you think nobody's looking, on Friday night, Saturday night, whatever. Does your Friday nights and Saturday nights honor God? Does it? Will it make me more like Jesus? When people see me, when people see you, will they go, man, he's starting to look a little bit like Jesus. And it's not the hair. I know. It's not the hair. Jesus wasn't white either. Let me go ahead and tell y'all that. Putting that out there for y'all. But will it make me more like Jesus? Will it make me more like Jesus? That's the question. Thirdly, will it help others? Will it help others? Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So will it help others? Your goals or your resolutions, whatever you want to call it, will it help others? Or does it, like I said, just build you up and make you feel good and inflate your ego or my ego? Like, or are you actually helping other people? Are you being a good neighbor? And sometimes that literally means you have to go to your neighbor and be good to them. Literally. Okay, I know. Scripture's hard. Will it help my witness? Will it help my witness? Colossians 4:5-6 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That's hard. That's hard. Why? Because there's a lot of people out in the world that don't look like you, that don't talk like you, that don't have a life like you have. But it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Okay. So we're making the most out of every opportunity. Let your conversations be full of grace. Now hold on now. But what about when they don't have no more donuts at church? Easy now. Now look now. You're just a student pastor. Don't be out here stepping on no toes, calling nobody out. What about when they don't have that creamer that I like up there at the cafe? What about when that person pulls out in front of me at the red light? What about when I see that person that I really don't like over there at the Target's, and then they see me and we lock eyes and we're like, oh Lord, who's going to talk first? Are your conversations full of grace? Do you lead with grace? What about when you get home, you've had a long day at work, and you get home and you and your spouse is fighting. Y'all fight with your spouse? That's just me. I'm just preaching to myself. Sorry. It is what it is. Do you walk in the house and leave with grace? When things aren't the way you thought they should be? When it didn't go your way that day, do you lead with grace? What about when them kids is running around the house knocking holes in the walls and flipping tables and you stepping on Legos and whatever? Like, do you lead with grace to those little ones? Now, for most of you, they're in here with you, so don't lie, because I will call on them and they will call you out, is all I'm saying. Do you lead with grace in those situations when you've had a hard day? You've had a hard day and things just, they're not going your way. They're not going your way. And then you have to have a conversation with somebody. You can't go lock yourself in a room somewhere and lay down and pull the covers up. Like, you still got a mom. You still got a dad. You still got to be a productive member of the family. Do you lead with grace in those situations? Because the greatest witness to your family is you. Your family sees Jesus through you. Your little ones see Jesus through you. I'm gonna be honest. They don't care about nothing I'm up here saying. I'm just being honest, because some of y'all don't care about what I'm up here saying. But you are called to be as close of an accurate representation of Jesus to your family. And your little ones are looking to you. They're looking to you to, how do I lead with grace? How do I be a good witness? How do I talk to people about Jesus? How do I do these things? Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, how do I do these things? So will it help your witness? Remember that when we're making goals. So once we set these goals, then I think we're called to organize said goals by areas of life. And I broke those down into personal, family, church, work, and then community. In personal, that's where we grow either spiritually or physically. So maybe our goal is to build a prayer habit in our lives. You know, which is hard because, you know, I grew up and, you know, the food would come out and I would say, bless this meat, now let's eat. And that was all that we did. Or, you know, you'd go to bed and it's like, lay me down to sleep and all that fun stuff and amen. Like, it's not really a prayer habit. It's probably a good start, but it's not really a prayer habit necessarily. So your goal, build a prayer habit. Action. What's the action there? Spend 10 minutes in prayer every morning. You're like, well, I just wake up, roll out of bed, throw my clothes on, and run out the door. Okay, well, in that, what's most important in your life? In that, is God the preeminent number one priority in your life? If you can't wake up, give him the first 10 minutes of a 24-hour day, but then when, you know, the stuff hits the fan, who's the first name you call? Now, hold on now. I'm preaching too good for y'all to be quiet out there. So spend 10 minutes in prayer every morning. Then we go to family. In family, that strengthens connections in your household. So the goal might be more present with your kids. Be more present with your kids. So what would an action be? Start a family game night. Start a game of Monopoly so that you all hate each other by the end of it. Start it. Like I said, that's just good preaching. I got to preach from over here. You know, start a game of Uno and let your kid cheat. Like, it's fine. It's not the end of the world. Like, is my son in here? No? Sorry. We play Uno and this child, he's gonna have a gambling problem one day, I think. I don't know. Y'all pray for me. Because this kid, he tries to be sly and like take I don't know, like, take some cards out of his hand and put them back in the deck, and he's like, Uno, and I'm like, we're in the first round. What do you mean? Like, I don't know. He's got issues. Just pray for me. So start that family game night. Bring the family together. Invite those people in your family that you don't necessarily like. Why? Because that's how you be a good neighbor. That's how you be a good neighbor. Invite those people in your family that you have strained relationships with. Ask them to come sit at your table and play a game of Uno with you. Don't cheat, though, because that's just going to make them mad. And then y'all going to get the cops called on you and whatever. And I don't have bail money. So, church. We got family, and then we got church. We'll get there. That's be a part of what God's doing right here. Be a part of what God's doing right here. So maybe the goal is, join a ministry team. Oh, I'm glad that's your goal. I got lots of opportunities for you right here at Four Points Church. So your action, I did this on purpose. I set y'all up. This is a trap. So actions. Sign up to help on a team here at Four Points if you call this your home. You, don't get me started. Y'all do chores at your own house? Y'all do chores? I'm going to follow up with something. Y'all do chores at your own house? You vacuum and sweep and carry on at your own house? For the most part, I would say y'all make y'all's bed, I hope. Don't tell me that if y'all don't. Y'all got to clean the toilets and do all that and take care of the kids and whatever at your house? Okay, well, you call Four Points your home, but you don't want to come sweep, mop, clean toilets, and watch babies. Are you sure it's your home? I'm going to keep moving before I get myself in trouble. Somebody's going to be mad. Work. Reflect Christ in your career. Reflect Christ in your career. Don't just be another cog in the wheel. Don't just look like everyone else at your job. You are called and set apart. You are called and set apart. You are supposed to look different. Church, you are supposed to look different. Stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to fit in. Wear those white pants on a Sunday morning. Wear them. Do it. Just do it. God, be holy and set apart, because you have been called by God to be that. So maybe your goal is to build relationships at your job. What would be the action? Invite a coworker to lunch once a week. Once again, this goes back to being a good neighbor. This goes back to this helps your witness. Because if you can get somebody sitting at the table with you eating lunch, they're going to open up about what's going on in their life. And when that door gets open, that lends to you being able to talk to them about Jesus. It does. That's how you become a good witness. Y'all got to start inviting people to your tables and letting them sit down and not keeping them at the door outside. You got to do it. Community is where you can make a difference. Maybe the goal is, like I said, be a good neighbor. So what would the action be? Start a food drive or help with a local need. And this doesn't always mean, like, hey, let's go down to, which we should, go down to the soup kitchen and let's do whatever. This may mean you walk out your front door, you hang a left, you walk across your yard to your neighbor's house, you knock on their door and say, hey, how are you? Is there anything I can help you with? Which is hard. Who's doing that? Don't raise your hands all at once. Don't raise them. You're called to be a literal good neighbor to not only your neighbor, but also to the community. The community needs you. The community needs you specifically because God has put unique and special gifts within you to be able to help your community. So church, in 2025, it's time for us to step out of our little comfort zone, to step out of what we thought we knew, and to step into what God has really called us to do to be able to help our community. And I will say that's as terrible as the hurricane that we just experienced was, what I saw post-hurricane was amazing. People didn't have power, they didn't have water, they didn't have whatever. But in that, you as a church stepped up. You as a church stepped up and went, okay, what can we do? I'll bring heaters, and I'll bring generators, and I'll bring whatever, and toilet paper, and it's like COVID year all over again, and I'll bring whatever. Like, whatever you need, I'll bring. But in that, I was like, man, this is great. Like, we have all these donations and whatever. But in that, I go, well, why did it take a hurricane for the church to be a good neighbor? Why did it take a hurricane for us to settle down for a second and go, well, what are the needs in my community? What are the needs for the people in this room? How can I help them? How can I help? The hurricane allowed us to take a step back and just slow down. And we saw kids outside playing basketball that ain't never played basketball in their life, but they're out there playing with the neighborhood kids. And nobody's making any points because they've never played before. And they're used to playing like on a switch or whatever. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They're just out there having fun, you know, whatever. But that's what we're called to do for our communities. But in that, we have to keep it realistic. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Make your goals fit your life. We're not called to overpack our schedule. We're called to be very careful. Then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And it doesn't take much explaining for you to see the days are evil. Let us have another election and you tell me if the days are evil. Oh, then nobody want to talk about that. Okay. Make your goals fit your life. Don't overpack that schedule because you're going to get burnt out and wore out. And then you're going to quit. And then our life is going to look just like it looked in 2024. Lastly, stick with it. Stick with it. Going back to verse 14, it says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. So church, we have to start small. Don't try to change everything overnight. Small steps lead to big progress. It's like, y'all remember Calvin and Hobbes, the little comic book type deal? I had that growing up. It's like Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes said, I'm so far behind on everything, I'll never die. I feel that. Like, I got so much stacked up, it ain't never going to happen. I'm just going to be here forever. We're called to rely on God. You have to rely on God. You have to get yourself out of the way and rely on Him. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through who that strengthens me? Through Christ that strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things through Joe who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things through somebody else that strengthens me. No. It says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God gives us the strength to keep going when we feel like quitting. We have to learn from setbacks. Paul faced challenges and challenges and challenges, but he didn't give up. When you mess up, we have to confess, which is hard, right? Because we have to be transparent about shortcomings. We love to blast achievements on social media, but not when we fail. Not when we fail, not when, like, I have not been a good husband this week. Not when we do those things. We don't want anybody to know those. But we have to confess those to God and get back on track, because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to stay focused with Scripture. We have to stay focused with Scripture, because the word is supposed to be a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. And that means it has to go before me. into the places where I go, it has to go before me. For it to be a light to my path, it's got to be ahead of me. But too often, we leave the house and leave this sucker back here somewhere. Brandon, hold that. We leave it back there. It has not given me light to my feet if I left it at home. If I don't have scripture in my heart, I'm not leading very well. I'm not leading very well. I'll take that back. Thank you. You did good, Brandon. I would encourage you to not just hang those fancy little verses in your kitchen, which we all do, but I would challenge you to write it somewhere, the full verse, where you can see it every day. Because I fully believe that, you know, at least memorizing some scripture is important, because at some point during your day, you're going to need it. You're going to need that scripture. You're going to need it. And you can't always go, well, hold on a second. And then you got to go to the glossary and like, I know it's in here somewhere. Just wait a second. It should be in your heart. It should be in your heart. We're called to build accountability. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We're called to share your goals with a friend or a small group. Lucky for you, we have a ton of small groups for you to join. There's not a group that we don't have that's not for you. Like, join a small group. Join a small group. Get comfortable. Get in community around people that are weird just like me. Okay, not just like me, but just like you. Because iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Share your goals, share your failures in that small group. So to wrap up, New Year's resolutions aren't just about self-improvement. They're not just about self-improvement. They're a chance for you to honor God. They're a chance for you to honor God in 2025. They're a chance for you to do that. Church, we have to start thinking about what matters in eternity. Because we're called to store up treasures in heaven, not treasures here. That's not scriptural, that's cultural. And church, I hope and pray that in 2025 that we start leading with Christ and not leading with us. I hope that we start setting goals that would make us look more like Jesus. So I'm going to give you a challenge, because I like actionables. I like when I can challenge you to do something, because then I can come back in 3 or 4 days when 2025 hits and go, okay, what are those? So the challenge is, let this new year be about God-sized goals and eternal impact and not stuff that doesn't matter. And so what I want you to think about is, what are those goals for your life? What are those goals for your family? And how are you going to allow God to operate through you in 2025? Our prayer team is here. If you need prayer, we're going to worship a little bit more. And guys, I just want you to know, it's been an honor to serve with you in 2024. And I love you guys, and I appreciate you as a church. So would you join and worship with us?